Data localization is a concept that the personal data of a country's resident should be processed and stored in that country. It started in April of 2018 when RBI issued a circular mandating that the payment data be stored only in India. Now, this covered everyone from MasterCard and Visa to WhatsApp payment and Paytm. Then in July of 2018, we had a draft data protection bill by a committee headed by retired Justice B.N. Sri Krishna, which recommended that all the personal data of Indians has to have at least one copy in India and all the critical personal data be stored only in India. And now this recurring data localization agenda has bubbled up again with the latest draft report of the government's e-commerce policy, which calls the data generated in a country a national asset and citizens and the government has a sovereign right over it. So in this week's episode of Tech at Work, we talk about data localization. I am Reema Tendulkar and I'm joined by Amit Malhotra, the Managing Director of International Data Corporation, IDC, India and in South Asia. He has more than two decades of experience and he joins in to weigh both the sides of the debate, free open internet versus the call for national security. Amit, thanks so much for joining in. But just to get everyone up to speed, if you could start off by telling what are the current data localization rules / recommendations in India?
Thanks, Reema. So you rightly called out data localization is the act wherein the government is expecting all data which is generated out of India, which is any device that generates data out of India, is available in India. So obviously a copy of all data, but most importantly, all critical data has to be not only stored locally, but also processed locally. So that's essentially what the Act and the government notification essentially is trying to talk about.
But critical personal data is not defined. What do you think it will cover, Amit?
To start with, obviously, it will have a lot of financial data. But as you can imagine, a whole lot of stuff is getting linked with each other. So, you know, you start off with the financial data, but it links into other, which we may consider as non-critical data, for example, preferences, choices, buying behaviors, so on and so forth, places where you're spending money, patterns in terms of your holiday making, so on and so forth, right? So, as I said, it starts off with the financial data, which is, you know, your basic account and banking information. But then it expands out because everything is linked right now.
Amit, the reason India is adopting or recommending these rules is to secure the nation's security and to protect the citizen data. How valid is that argument? Is the security of data really dependent on the location of the data?
Obviously, security is the prime driver for this. And when you look at security, you don't have to look at where is the physical data present. I think the most critical factor when it comes to security is when an incident is ongoing or is just concluded, right, and the security agencies have to take certain action on it, you need access to that data. Now imagine if there's an ongoing event or activity happening and the security agencies want to access certain amount of data and that data is not present locally in the country, is possibly in some other country. Now the only way for security agencies to access that data is to use what is known as the MLAT, which is a mutual legal assistance treaty between countries. So you know, they will have to make a requisition through foreign ministry, get access to that data. You can imagine the amount of time, effort, energy it will take. And this is possibly when a live incident is going on, right? So the law enforcement agencies definitely like to have access to that data, you know, as soon as they can. Now, any delay will hurt and harm the process of stopping whatever incident is going on.
But what is the feedback from the global clients on that? Do they fear that the Indian government can come and access their data? This is an unfettered access that we're talking about, and it will be done under the garb of national security. Are your global clients okay with this?
See, most of the people we've been talking to, the global guys who are obviously very active in India, or even the ones who are planning to become more active in India, are all in favor of compliance to the local authorities. Now, obviously, data localization or, you know, doing trade or business within the borders is becoming a norm across the world, I guess, right now. And we're not alone in terms of, you know, asking for sovereignty of data or ensuring the data is available to us at all points in time. I think they are in the stride looking at, you know, the cost of doing business in any country. you appreciate we are a very large economy, we're a very large opportunity market for all global players, and they are committed across the board for compliance to local laws.
Well, they are in favor of compliance because India is also a very, very important market for most of them. But does it affect the kind of services we've come to expect from the likes of, say, a Google or, you know, Facebook, for instance? The reason Google is very effective and most of its services are free is because they can have targeted ads. And those ads are targeted. That's only because Google has access to all that data and they can monetize and harvest it. So will this in any way affect the consumer experience? Because at the end of the day, say, a Google will also have the data on its international shores. All it needs to do is store its data locally as well. So is there any reservation from the clients on the kind of service they can offer?
Obviously, there are multiple parts to your question. I'm going to try and address them separately. First, as you said, it's a large market. They're very happy to kind of invest in the country. You see more and more announcements coming from global players starting up their data centers, cloud centers out of the country. So to that extent, don't see a challenge because it's already part of their investment plan. If they need to buy more capacity, more processing power in the country, obviously that's an incremental cost. But with the large opportunity of revenue, I'm sure in the Excel sheets and the math, it's kind of worked out. In terms of analytics on the data, again, you have to look at it two parts. The general data, the Act talks about having a live copy at all points in time in the country. It means you can still have another copy of the data aggregated in some other country by one of these global guys to process, do analytics on it, come back and make offers and so on and so forth. Even just if you were to look at the critical data, which is supposed to lie within the country only, both storage and processing, I think the mass and the volume is big enough for them to make investments in the country for analytics or additional tools or people in the country. So net-net, we're not seeing anybody change their, so far, change their India strategy only basis this particular law.
Okay, so that's from the global client. So they're for it, they're willing to make the additional investment. The Indian startup ecosystem right now is in favor of these rules because they fear data colonization. But do you think it will hurt them? Because these foreign companies that we were talking about are the tech giants. They have the financial resources to make that additional investment. Will it hurt the smaller domestic startups?
Now, if you look at it from the startups, that because the data is now localized, they should get better quality, better performance, lower latency in terms of any analytics that they want to run in these cloud service providers. Will it put a bit of pressure initially on the startups? Maybe yes, but in the longer run, I think this cost will taper down very, very quickly.
What is the power that these recommendations bestow on an individual? Because we are talking about protecting the privacy of an individual as well. Do the rules say that you require consent from an individual? Does the individual have the power to demand that you reveal or delete any data?
Act essentially talks about the owner of the data being the owner of the data, right? So that's a fundamental piece in it. Now, the customer has the right to withdraw the consent if they don't want the data to continue with whoever is a service provider out there. So that does allow a certain amount of control on the individual or for the individual to kind of address that.
We know that it's drawn inspiration from the EU GDPR or the Global Data Protection Regulations of the European Union. But what are the similarities or where does it differ from the GDPR rules?
So there are lots of similarities. As you rightly called out, it does kind of have a bit of a take from the GDPR Act as well. In terms of similarity, the data collection piece and the rights of the individual, the person to say refuse the data collection to happen, that is kind of very similar. Where it differs is in terms of processing. So the Indian law does not really call out clearly on processing of data. So a consumer would have a right for collection, right? You can refuse that collection. But once it is legally obtained, collected, the processing of that data has not been called out as yet in terms of the Act. So that's one difference. The other big difference is in terms of fines. Both GDPR as well as the Indian law talks about fines and charges being put on on the collector of data. But in the case of GDPR, it is only a civil suit that they can go for. In India, it can, besides a civil suit, can also be a criminal case that can be lodged in. So it's a bit of a difference out there, but largely there are more similarities than differences.
You know, we spoke earlier about that it should not have a big difference on the kind of analysis or analytics these global companies do. But, you know, there was a statement from MasterCard which said that they were concerned that the strict data localization policies will actually compromise the company's ability to detect frauds and money laundering in the domestic payment system. What have you made of that statement and that argument put forth by MasterCard?
So I don't think we buy into it. One, the tools being used, whether they use the tool on a facility which is located physically in India or any other location, the tools and the original manufacturers of those tools, hardware, software, tools that are used for early warning, fraud detection, security and all that, they are the same. Right, so there's no way they will have different tools. So they can't say that, no, if it is in India, I will use a different tool. If it is global, I will use a different tool. So tools are the same. So to that extent, there is no difference. And second, it's a very large market, India, right? They can't walk away. If this is the law, this is the law, right? And if you want to participate in the market, you have to be compliant.
Well, as of now, it's only a draft. We still await the final guidelines, you know, coming in from the government. Just one final word, Amit, if you had to just summarize the entire discussion, you're saying all the clients that you've spoken and IDC has reached out to, they're all willing to comply with these rules. So that is one aspect. You don't expect, you know, analytics or the kind of customer services companies offer to make, you know, for, you know, data localization to make a big difference to that. Any other thoughts?
No, I think, again, we just have to see when it becomes the law. Obviously, as you called out, this is a draft state right now. So as it becomes a law, I'm sure there'll be finer print. For example, you know, processing, what is the definition of that? Critical personal data, the taxonomy or the definitions have to be fully defined. And I'm sure there'll be a bit of back and forth in terms of the taxonomy that finally gets adopted by the law. But yes, it is a step which India is no different from the other countries who's taking it, and it is for the larger security of the data, and I think it has more positives than negative at this point in time.
And you believe data will be more secure with these rules?
Well, again, when I said it will, every day everybody's working towards making data more secure, so that's an ongoing process. But yes, ability to act in case there is a challenge or an issue or an event, ongoing security challenge, this law will help us as a country react and take action on it much quicker, much faster, as compared to if this was outside.
Amit, thank you very much for your time and your thoughts. Data is the new oil, as we say. It is a strategic asset. But while the very essence of the internet is free and flowing data, but privacy is also a fundamental right. And now there is renewed interest in personal data protection, this time with the individual and not commerce being the focus of it. And we have not heard the last word on it. Thanks again for listening and watching Tech at Work. This is the show where we have many CXOs talking about the latest technology trends. You can listen into the podcast Tech at Work at Radio Boom, Apple, Google. This video is available on YouTube. And do send in your feedback at my Twitter handle, Reema Tendulkar. We'll be back with another episode.